Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Shout. I'm your host, Carla Campbell, and once again, I am here. This is the third time now, so we'll see. I want to say thank you for those of you who are listening and who have returned to help support us here at Crown Talk and Drums. And so, let's see here. Hey, it's cold out. I'm here in Colorado, so it's been a little snowy today, this afternoon. And so, I try to run my errands as soon as I possibly could and get everything done before it was too late, before it was time for me to come on the air. And so, while I was out, I've been going to the grocery store, and I don't know how many of you have noticed how eggs have become expensive. I mean, wow. You know, I noticed it during the holidays when we were coming through Christmas, New Year's, and I needed to go to the store, and I noticed how the eggs were $7.99 to $8.99. And I said to myself, you've got to be kidding me. And this particular day when I walked in the store, I noticed there was nothing on the shelves. There was like only a handful of eggs left. And they were asking people to only take two items or two at the most. Two was the limit. And so I saw that the eggs were $7.99. $8.99. I was like, I don't know. So I didn't purchase eggs that day. I left. And when I spoke to my daughter about it, and she says, Mom, that's because there's a shortage. And I'm like, a shortage on what? And so she explains to me what was going on with the chickens and all that, right? Things that I wasn't really aware of. And so I said to myself, do I want to go back really and pay $7.99 or $8.99 for a carton of eggs? And so I don't know how many of you, I'm quite sure this is across the nation. It's not just here, but my understanding is it's everywhere. And so I began to think about, you know, women, mothers, fathers who are having to put food on the table, and they're struggling to get or to put food on the table. More food pantries now than ever are running out of food to feed families. The shortage. And it caused me to think about Ngozi Adichie, a young lady who did a TED Talk. And in her TED Talk, this is a young woman who is from Nigeria. And in her TED Talk, she mentions how in Nigeria, where the shortage of essentials began to disappear. And she mentions this in her TED Talk with regards to the danger of a single story. But I'm not going to talk about the whole video. I just want to mention when she says when milk began to disappear and eggs began to disappear and sugar and flour began to disappear, which would send panic for a community of people who need those essentials to feed their families. And so I was thinking about my topic for today with regards to the economy, because we're all feeling it. We're all feeling the crunch of our economy and how it's teetering on the brink of possibly becoming an inflation, right? And so I thought about women and how we struggle. Whenever there's an economical, when there's an increase in the cost of living and the increase of food and the increase of the cost of living is more expensive than it is, than it was 10 years ago. Women and children suffer the brunt of that more than anyone else. in society. And for the most part, women are the primary or they are the joint breadwinners for a majority of the American household. And right now, this particular economy that we're facing is not in the favor of women who are single, especially women who are single, coming from a single parent. It's difficult, even from a woman who's married and has a partner, it's difficult. So never alone for a woman who's doing this herself. And so I want to talk about how we survive and how we find ways to make do with what we have. We've been trained to do that. Some of us know that the economy for some of us is not in our favor. And so when we know that women earn like 80 cents, I think, I believe it's 80 cents for every dollar that a man earns. And I believe that we take, those of us who are single parents, this is something that we take into consideration on a regular basis, because we're always asking for or demanding that we be paid a little bit more than what we're being paid, so that we can feed our families and take care of our household and keep a roof over our heads. And so wages are barely budging in this country. But the cost of childcare, and I want to talk about this too, because that adds to our stress when we are in need of childcare in order for us to go to work, right? And so we've also experienced the cost of childcare. Some people can't afford to work a full-time job because of childcare. Some people have to rely on other family members, and the other family members, such as our mothers, our mother-in-laws, our, you know, whoever that we can lean on to help us to be able to go to work and survive. Because for some people, it's really a matter of survival. And so, and as I stated earlier, it's even more difficult. It's difficult for people who have a partner, but it's even more difficult for women who do not have partners. And so when we're looking at the cost of living and what the needs and necessities of taking care of a household, it becomes stressful for families that are having to substitute or eliminate certain things from their budget because they can no longer afford to do certain things, or they can no longer afford to buy that particular item, or they can no longer afford to pay for healthcare, for example. If your child gets sick and you have to pay for medicine for your child if you're not covered. And even if you are covered, you still have to pay a copay, right? So these are all the things that we have to deal with our everyday grind, our everyday living. And so it is essential that we do have the support of our families. I know that during the first show, on the first show, I talked about faith, family, and communities. And with faith, family, and communities, I mentioned that all women across the globe have this in common. Because if we don't have the support of our families, if we don't have the support of the communities, it makes it difficult for us to survive. And faith for some is huge because that's how we get by. For some of us, I can only speak for myself. If it had not been for my faith, I don't think I would have survived the things that I have survived as a single woman, and most of all as a woman of color. And so I just decided that I wanted to talk about this thing with regards to the economy because it impacts us all. And I mentioned the eggs and going to the store and having to pay $7.99 versus $8.99, and I'm quite sure we're all feeling that. But I brought that up because that's really major as to the cost of living that's affecting our ability to be able to make provision. And as I stated also, women are the primary or joint breadwinners of their household. Women are still making, they're the ones who are, you know, being paid minimum wage. Majority of the women in this country are working at minimum wage. And when you look at it from a global perspective, it's even worse. So women in general on the global scale are working at minimum wage. Now, because women are the nurturers of their homes or the nurturers of their families, and we're needing the assistance that we need to nurture our children, to nurture our partners, to nurture, and in some cases, our parents, because more and more women are also taking care of senior family members. Some families have their in-laws, maybe a mother-in-law, maybe a father-in-law, or mother and father, in which they are caretakers of seniors in their home, and therefore making it even more difficult. And so in order for us to be able to be in the workforce, we need the support in the home. It is stated that child care itself, the cost of child care, and this is both for married couples as well as single moms, or single dads, because there are single dads out there that are also taking care of children. But the cost when you have a child, the cost of child care in and of itself is about the same amount that we pay per year for tuition in college. So I want you to think about that for a minute. The average cost of daycare in the United States is like $12,000. And on average, we're spending anywhere from $900 to $1,000 a month on child care. Can you imagine that? I mean, so for some people, for some states, you're actually paying child care, the amount of child, the amount for child care, the dollar per capita with regards to child care is similar to that of college tuition for a state school. And so that is something to think about. I remember when I needed to have daycare for my daughter, and I was paying at that time $600 a month. And we're not talking an infant. We're talking a toddler. And I was paying at that time $600, $640, almost $700 a month. And so I can only imagine, I mean, I'm not in that stage anymore. My children are older, but to have to pay for childcare, to find quality childcare is difficult. According to childcareawareofamerica.org, on average, people are paying $480 to $1,740 on a monthly basis. And it all depends on where you live. If you live in the South, it might be a little less. If you live in the North, it's more. If you live in the Midwest, it may be more. If you're on the West Coast or East Coast, it's definitely more. So it depends on where you live. The core economic issues are a huge burden on women and their families. And I'm quite sure many of us have experienced that, and many of us are experiencing that. And we know how challenging it is. Now, with regards to women and pay, and we've been debating this, discussing this, crying out for this, shouting out for this, for women to receive equal pay as their male counterparts. And I stated earlier that women are earning 80 cents to the dollar that that men are earning. And so this has been a challenge that we have been facing for decades. And still, here we are, 21st century, 2022, 2023, and we're still crying out for that equality of pay. And it's really strange how women suffer the brunt of the economy more than anyone else, and especially women of color. It's even more difficult and challenging for women of color, for Black and Latina women. Women who go to college, we have more women who attend college than men. But the unequal pay makes it harder for them to pay back student loans. It's hard for anyone to pay back student loans. But can you imagine a woman who's not being paid equally? It makes it even more difficult for her. More women are minimum wage workers than men, period. That's the bottom line of that. And so what is it that we can do? What can we do about that? How is that we can appeal to companies, corporations, to address those inequities and that inequity, the gender disparities that are among women? I also noticed, and I pulled this information as well, and I was thinking about COVID. And when we were dealing with this whole thing with COVID and how the number of women needed to stay home, they lost their jobs, they quit their jobs because schools were closed, daycares were not open, and women needed to now, who found themselves in situations where they needed to stay home. And according to the reports of that time of 2021, it is stated that women accounted for a majority of jobs lost. It also states that according to the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics, that women suffered the brunt of that more than anyone. They say that 156,000 jobs were lost, while men actually gained 16,000 jobs. Now, let that sink in for a minute. 156,000 jobs were lost, while men actually gained 16,000. So you have to think about socially, from a social perspective, what was going on with families at that time during the shutdown. And then you have to think about that most women were working these minimum wage jobs, and the minimum wage jobs were being shut down. Restaurants were being shut down. Some of your retail stores were shut down for a brief moment, and then in some cases they were forced to come to work, having to wear a mask, which put them at risk health-wise. There were so many obstacles for women at that time. For all of us, but for women especially, and especially women of color who could not afford to stay home. Women who were on the front lines, such as nurses, CNAs, who were caring for the elderly, who put themselves at risk because they needed to work. But then there were others who were laid off due to the pandemic. So on an individual level, women can be vocal in expressing their frustration with pay gaps. And women are expressing that outrage when they discover, especially when they discover and knowing that they're being underpaid. And so it is so important that we address the gender disparities that take place in the workplace, that take place with companies and organizations. And while gender disparity issues may seem dire, there are ways to help at least mitigate the situation, and it starts with awareness. And how is it that employers can take note of women's struggles and where possible adjust their policies, especially where paid parental leave is concerned, or affordable child care, or flexible hours. Women, in terms of careers, who are trying to move into environments where women are less represented, have taken the brunt of having to pull back in their pursuits of their careers. Especially if you're married and you have children, or you cannot afford to travel that 20% with your company. If a company requires for you to travel for 20 to 30, in some cases 60% of the time, you're having to make a choice. Well, I can't afford to travel that much. And so that too poses a problem for women to be able to move up into positions or higher positions than their male counterparts. So that's another thing that we also need to look at and pay attention to, that because women are also making sacrifices for things that they're pursuing, but then now I can't complete the pursuit because I have these other obstacles that are causing me to not to be able to move forward. And so that's another issue that we face. Bias training too can be helpful. Much of what women are dealing with on a socioeconomic level is due to implicit biases. And I know I talked about this and I mentioned it, but I'm going to talk about it a little bit more with regards to implicit biases. And we know that the implicit biases are rooted in our society as to the role and the gender roles of what males and what men and what women should do, right? These are prejudices that people often hold unconsciously or even against their own better judgment. With proper insight and training, people can become more aware of their own implicit biases and change their behavior and attitudes. Who is responsible for what? Are we in it as a partnership, or is this still what women should be doing, right? And what men in these different roles and how we define those roles? And some of us grew up in homes where, hey, this is what girls do. This is what boys do, right? We're conditioned to know exactly what our role or our responsibilities are as women. And so I ask you, the audience, how is it that this economy has really held women back? How is it this economy has caused more women to be in poverty than ever? How is it that this economy has pushed some of us back? And some people are finding themselves in situations where it's going to take some time to crawl out of that situation economically, financially. And how is it that all of these things affect our mental health as well? And I know last week we talked about self-care, right? And how is it that we need to take the time out to take care of ourselves in the midst of a stressful time where some of us have no idea where our next meal is coming from? Some of us don't have a roof over our heads and we're living in shelters. Let's speak the truth. There are some families that are living in shelters. How? When that mother doesn't know how she's going to pay for diapers for her son or for her daughter, for her baby. How? How do we address those things? And so it is important for us to conduct regular assessments. Surveying the needs of women in an organization can also help avoid wrong assumptions about women and their needs. The world has changed, and every organization should be intentionally assessing the needs of women in their workforce to lead more inclusion and equity, and to be inclusive and equity focused. There are lack of resources in communities of color, so I want to address that as well. For communities of color, resources are very, very few. Sad to say, but it is. Women of color suffer the most economically, socially. And so we have to be mindful of that as well. A number of African American women will do whatever it takes. And I think the motto, and I, as a woman of color, the motto is always, I do what I gotta do, right? I do what I have to do. Because if I don't, I won't survive, or my family won't survive. We do what we have to do. And it is so imperative because women of color, we carry the minimum wage jobs. We are the highest number in terms of minimum wage jobs. Latina women, African American women, women of color, who carry that burden. And it is so important that we take the time out to address those issues. How is it that we can take our families out of poverty? How is it that we can make life a little better for ourselves? So we go back to college. We go back to school, right? We go to nursing training and we obtain that nursing degree, or we obtain that degree just so that we could put ourselves in a better situation job-wise. But not everyone can afford to do that. Not everyone can afford to get in debt in debt like that. As I stated earlier, there are more women in college than men. Why? Because women know they need to make a certain amount of money to take care of their families. They know that. They know that automatically. But the obstacles are so great from a social standpoint and from an economical standpoint. It makes it really difficult. And those obstacles stand in our way on a regular basis. And how do we overcome it? I go back to the whole idea of faith, family, and community. I can only speak for myself. I know for myself, faith is huge. And most of us, especially in the African-American community, faith is huge. We have our churches. We have our stance, our beliefs. We have our faith. And for some of us, as we would say, that's all I have, right? And I can only speak for myself. Faith was all I needed because that's how I was able to survive. And so when we know that we have these things working against us, it makes it difficult. However, we always find, or as my grandmother would say, make do. And that's something that we have learned to do, is just make do. Make do with what you have. Multiply that. And when you put your faith to the make-do, things happen. Things begin to shift and you begin to have increase. For some of us, it's community, our families. Some of us have tight-knit families. And so if it were not for your family, you would not have been able to get through that situation where you needed a daycare, you needed someone to take care of your child, you needed someone to watch your children. And so this is where community and family comes into play. It takes a village to raise a child. I believe that's a Ghanaian proverb, that it takes a village to raise a child. And that is absolutely true. So when you have your family and you have your community, you have your village, it makes it easier. Although today, for some people, we don't have that community. We don't have that village. We don't have. And so we're having to make do. And we have to walk this thing by faith, believing that everything is going to be okay, even when deep down inside you're shaking in your boots because you don't know how you're going to feed your family. You don't know where that next meal is coming from. You don't know whether you'll be able to have enough money to buy diapers or whether you'll have enough money to be able to keep a roof over your head. That's stressful. That's a stressful way of living. That's a stressful way of being. And so it is important that we look out for our village, that we look out for our communities, that those of us who have a coat or two were able to give a coat, right? As if you have a coat and you have more than one coat, and your neighbor needs it, give them your coat. And so I believe that women all over the world, at some point, women are starting to rise up. Women are now starting to demand that they be treated fairly. women all over the world. I admire the women in Iran who are standing up because they too want equality and democracy. Women in Nigeria who are standing up because they want their girls to be educated. And that's not just in Nigeria, that's all in different parts of countries that are developing nations where women, young girls, are not given that opportunity to be educated. If we can allow our women and our girls to be educated, we can pull them out of poverty. As a matter of fact, we can pull the entire community out of poverty. The education of girls, the appreciation of girls. There are some cultures in which they celebrate the birth of a boy more than they do the birth of a girl. And so you cannot stand with just one half. You need the whole. You need the whole. And the only way that you can have the whole is to give the girls the opportunity to be educated. The only way you can pull that community out of poverty is to give equal rights to women. Pay the women what they're worth. If she's an engineer and she has a degree from Yale, she should be paid the same amount of money as her male counterpart. Also from Yale. And so I wanted to speak on this because this is really important for today, because there's so much poverty and women and children suffer the most from it. The economy is not working in the favor of women. It's not. And so anyway, what can we do? How is it that we continue the fight for equality? How is it that we're able to eliminate the gender disparities? What can we do? And so I say to you today, you, those of you who are listening to me under the sound of my voice, I say to you, stay encouraged. Stay encouraged. Keep fighting for your families. Keep fighting for your daughters, your sons. And especially in the African American community, where we as single mothers are raising sons in the midst of these crazy times, because that's another stressor for some of us, right? Because we're raising African American sons. And so we find a way to make do. Always, we lean on our communities at times. We lean on our families. And those of us who are blessed to have families that are supportive, you are very blessed, because there are some who do not have that. How do we make it? And so I go back once again, and I know this is like my third time saying it, and I'm going to say it again. Faith, family, community. Traditionally, we've known and have learned to lean on our faith. There's a song that my grandmother at her church, where they used to sing and they used to march to it all the time. We come this far by faith. leaning on the Lord. I don't know what your faith is. For some people, their faith is different. Maybe it's not in the Christian faith. Maybe some people are in a different faith. But this is where my conviction is, because of the way that I was raised. I was raised pretty much in the church. But my grandmother used to sing that song, even when she would, when they would leave church. And then sometimes when she's in the kitchen as a little girl, I remember hearing her singing that. We come this far by faith. And so we're living in a day and time in which we're going to have to find some faith or belief. The economy, is it working for women? Is it not working for us? But it's also not just women. And so I don't want to be exclusive because men also, people in general, are feeling the crunch of the economy. But I go back to this, women feel it even more. If you have a significant other, you are married and you have a husband or you have a partner and it's easier for you. And then some people even find it more difficult that even though they have a partner, it's difficult because it's heavy on everyone, the economy. And so we're all feeling the crunch. And so anyway, I will be reaching out to you guys in a few, but I just wanted to say this. We have to keep in mind of the next generation to come and how that generation coming up will be able to survive, to be able to find quality jobs. Some are making the decision that, you know, I can barely take care of myself, never alone have a family. So some people are opting out because they can't afford it. They can't afford to have a family. Some are also needing to make a decision. Can I afford to even have a place to live? Some can't afford to have a place to live. I could tell you now, the average one bedroom for some people is $1,700 a month. I don't know what it is for you in your state, in the place in which you're living, but I can tell you this is difficult for some of our young people to be able to make it. So never alone a young woman branching out to take care of herself in pursuits of her own autonomy, careers. And so this is something that we need to consider as well. You know, how are we leaving the next generation? Poverty in itself, I believe it was Nelson Mandela who stated that poverty was man-made. That poverty in itself is a man-made condition. And I have to think about that for a minute, because when you look at it from a systemic point of view, that could be true. That may be true. But I'll leave that for you guys to ponder and to think about. Is poverty man-made? And then when we look at systems and how we have biases in our systems and how the system is set up, I would say yes, yes, it is. So I'm going to prepare to get ready to leave, and I know I have a few minutes, but I want to hear your voices, so I will have you guys to come in and chime in. And I see that there's a few people already online. And so give me a shout. Tell me what's on your mind and what are you thinking. So I'm going to go here. I'm going to let this person in and see who, what do you have to say? Hello?
Hello?
Hello, caller. Do you have, you want to chime in?
The only thing I want to say is that I agree with you that poverty is man-made because of the capitalist system, which is profit-oriented. And it's not about people. And it is, and then the religious system, Protestantism, supports and undergird capitalism. Without that religious system, we will not have capitalism. If you think about it, it's all telling us hard work and how we have to work hard and not worry about getting anything for our labors here on the earth, because we're going to get ours when we die and go to heaven.
Oh,
and
yeah.
That's a lie, too.
Yes.
So go ahead.
No, that's absolutely true. And I totally agree with you on that one. And, you know, we have, you're right, we have been conditioned religiously under the right, under the call of what we call religion, right? And that's another thing that has caused a number of, especially with that patriarchy mindset that put women in these conditions, and even as people of color that put them in those situations because of a belief that has imposed upon the community, you know, that, hey, you're right, you'll get yours later. No. There are people enjoying, they have their heaven right now, you know.
That's correct.
And you're not supposed to have this. So that's absolutely correct. And I totally agree with you on that. And so it's like, okay, well, what do we do? Some of us need to be decolonized. We need to be, you know, dismantled. We need, it's like there's a shaking that needs to take place in our thinking in order for us to be liberated and free from the lies that have been told to us, right? So that's absolutely true. And so, yes. Poverty being man-made, yes, that's all across the globe. That's intentional. So you're absolutely right.
And if you look at who owns the wealth, it's the women. The women gain their wealth from their husbands who pass, because women outlive men, so men die and need the money. But then they... society tell women, you can't manage it, you need a man to manage your money.
And they end up losing it.
That's right.
Some of them end up losing it because the woman doesn't know how to manage money. I mean, see, it's that's a patriarchy mindset. And that's why it is what it is. Well, I appreciate it. I guess I had another caller, but it looks like they went off. If you guys want to call and you want to chime in, please call in at 646-668-82. Am I saying that right? Guess call in 646-668-8217. Okay. 646-668-8217. And so, yes, yes, and yes. Okay, I have someone here. Let me pull... okay, let them in. Okay, caller.
Can you hear me?
Yes, caller. You're chiming in? Hello?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, yes.
I didn't hear the follow-up on the question just a minute ago because my phone cut off. But I wanted to talk about the village that helps you raise your children.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Seems like we've lost that village. It's like now you can't do that because that's my child, and you don't do that. So my question is, how do we get the village back and let everybody in the village know it's okay to have help.
That's a good question. The depending on where you are, cultural, because that is a cultural thing. And so how is that culturally? Because I believe I'm hearing you right. How can we get back to that on the from a cultural perspective? When the culture has been dismantled, it makes it difficult for that community to be able to go back to that. Because unless the culture has been restored, the community has been restored, our values have been restored, then it makes it difficult to go back to that. And when we're living in a society where everything, how we communicate with one another has changed, has shifted, it's difficult to go back to that. And then when you have the structure of the family, the breakdown of the family, where that family structure is no longer in place, it makes it difficult to do that. Does that make sense? Because that which was established at one time is not established, it's no longer there. And then the elders from that time, they are gone, right? And so the shifting with our communities, there's a huge shift in the way in which we communicate with each other as families. It's not the same. And then when you have systems in place that say, hey, you can't do this, or say, hey, you can't do that, that makes it even more difficult. Because sometimes those systems that are in place can also play a part in how we handle families and communities, because the things that you used to be able to do, you can't do that anymore. There are laws in place. There are policies in place. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's not the way it used to be.
So what is the village's role now to parents, to families?
Well, I would say it also depends on where you are. It depends on where you are. Because families don't live in the same places anymore. They're not like connected where they live in the same. Some people don't live in the same state. Some people don't live in the same city. And so it makes it difficult when that happens, when you have families that are branching out, families that are leaving and going into, you know, other parts of the country, maybe because of a job, maybe because of a career change, or maybe because they can't afford to live in certain places anymore. So people are more, families are a little bit more spread out now. They're not in the same block, or they're not living on the same block, they're not living in the same city. And so our communities have been dispersed.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have social media, and then social media with Facebook and Instagram and all these things in which people are communicating with each other by way of technology. Technology has changed that as well. And so some people, it's important for them to be able to get that information, such as sharing of information as to where they are, how they're traveling, how's the family, how's the child, how's the kids, how's the marriage, how all of that. People have resorted to social media for some of that. But the context that we used to have, we don't have anymore. And then some of that, too, is connected to finance. So we have to take all that into consideration when it comes to community. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yes, not as easy as it used to be. It's not as tight knit as it used to be. So, okay.
Okay, thank you.
You're so welcome. Okay. If there's anyone else who wants to call in or chime in, here's the number 646-668-8217. I'm going to, because my time is almost up, and so I just want to chime in and say, look, I'm speaking mostly to those of you who are out here on your own, and you're doing this by yourself, and it's been challenging and it's been hard. I just want you to know that it's okay. You're going to be okay. And turn to those in your village, turn to those who support you and are there for you. Embrace those people as much as you can. Is there another caller here? Hello? Okay. I thought that was someone else. Okay. I'm going to wrap it up, and I'm going to call it a night. I want to say thank you for your support, those of you who are listening in, and thank you for your support. Thank you for being there. This is my third time on the air, and I am most thankful that I have been given this platform to be able to share with you. And so I just want to say thank you. Have a good night. Enjoy your time with your family. And peace and blessings to all of you. Good night.
Good night. Same to you.